We're going to continue with our series. The Problem with Money is the title today, a part of the series of Conquering the Love of Money. Did you notice money any differently this week? As we've been, well, maybe you just tuned me out. I don't know. But if you're thinking at all about what we're teaching here, you'll begin to think about, what about money? Am I in love with it? Hope not. Hope not. The two verses that we have as our key verses, this is something that God speaks to very clearly in His Word, the subject of money. Money represents our life, the efforts we put into life, and I'm going to spend some time going through that today as we talk about the problem with money. And it's kind of an interesting challenge we face. Can't live without it, and sometimes we can't live with it. It bothers us both ways sometimes. So I trust that you will learn as we go through this. Do we have those verses on the screen? We do. Would you stand with me, please, and read with me out loud these two key verses? We're going to do this each time and trust that it'll help to penetrate our spirit and our mind to learn God's truth on this subject. So the first one is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read it together. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And then the second one, Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise from God. Let's pray. Oh God, as we enter into the study of your word, we ask that by your Spirit, please teach us that your Son would be glorified, and that through our lives, others would be drawn into relationship with you. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Did you ever notice that air is free? You don't have to pay any coins. You don't have to bring your debit card out, your MasterCard out. It's free. You can breathe as much as you want. I know it's pretty deep already, isn't it? But think of this too. Conception is free. There's no charge from God for starting a new life. Everything about our bodies is a gift from God. The fascinating systems that He has built within us. And once conception happens, the child is dependent on its mother for sustaining life. And once that child is born, then it begins the journey of eventually coming to the place where it has the responsibility to sustain its own life. Food, drink, rest, proper nutrition, exercise, all the things that go into keeping our bodies healthy. God gives life free. And then He turns around and says, and now I want you to participate with your responsibility in maintaining it. Therein is a picture of how God and humanity interact. And today, as you think about the problem with money, we often think that, well, of course, food and drink, most of the time, even water, really isn't free. I mean, unless you go to a river and you trust that it's pure enough and you drink it, nobody's done anything to it there. But even the water you take out of the tap, you're paying for it through your utility charges in your tax bill. So even that's not free, really. But the things that we have to rely on to keep life going cost money. And so today we're going to look at some things with how money is necessary, but money can also be destructive. In this series, I want to repeat that each of these lessons are another chapter. It's not the complete story until you have the complete story. So please don't take it out of context. Secondly, no one here, myself or Pastor Justin, is judging or condemning or trying to control your life. We are just trying to provide to you biblical instruction of God's principles and wisdom that will give you the result of God's desired blessing on your life. That's our purpose. And I trust as you listen and take these notes and run with them, you can benefit much from it for your own personal life and for the life of your family. If you have questions along the way, we will be happy to do the research to try and find the answers. We don't have all the answers. That would be ridiculous to even suggest. But God has answers, and he can lead us, and we have the time to research on your behalf. And so we're happy to do that research if you have questions that you see coming up as a result of the teaching of God's word. Now let's look at the first one. Money is necessary. So where does it come from? Where does money come from? There is no money tree, right? There's no money tree. It represents value from life work. Of course, governments create currency, and they print it, or as we're going towards globally, this whole idea of digital value for currency. And in that, it's an exchange of life for some tangible value. It represents life work. Even if you get something handed to you as a gift, somebody worked to provide it. Somewhere along the line. So it represents value from life work. There's a lot of great scriptures we're going to be looking at today, and I trust that you can follow along as we go. I think they're all going to be on the screen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Of course, written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by Solomon, God's man who he gifted great wisdom to and great riches as a result of God's wisdom. Ecclesiastes, I'm as good as Luke there on Nicodemus. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Wow, that's cutting to the chase, isn't it? We're all going to end up with an end to this life on this earth. So whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might, remembering that it's only temporary here. So think past this life with what you're putting your efforts into. It's a great verse of reminder. And then secondly, money can come as a result of investment, direct or indirect. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. It's an interesting piece of wisdom. It really speaks to the fact that there's a lot of things in this life we can't control. Can you control interest rates? Probably not. Some are trying. The Bank of Canada is trying. But even then, the reality is the marketplace, the whole global collation of all of these people who are moving their money with capital flows this way and that way, affect these things beyond what each of us as individuals can do. And really what is being said here is if you're going to invest, invest with diversification to seven or even eight areas of investment. You can have direct investments, you can have indirect investments. Ones that you personally manage directly yourself and ones that others manage for you. That's another source of money in our lives. Then there's intellectual value that we can get money from. For instance, knowledge or inventions or arts or designs. Some people who have developed great knowledge in areas of research often are paid to come and give speeches that give their knowledge to others. We see inventions. We see works of art, whether it's music or whether it's in graphic form. We have designs, those who have designed different things, that Leaning Tower of Pisa. I don't know what the architect was paid, but that's a unique design, something that you don't find anywhere else. And so designs, they can result in value coming into your life, another source of money. Sometimes we get gifts or inheritance. How many are anticipating a great inheritance? Don't put your hands up. Someone might see. Sometimes inheritance can be a blessing, and sometimes it can be a curse. And there's a lot of things said in Scripture about this. I'm just going to read this one verse, Proverbs 20, verse 21. It says here, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. The end thereof shall not be blessed. Inheritance, or people giving gifts to you, it can be a source of money in your life. And it's necessary for us to use to live. And then there's benevolence. Benevolence. It can come from family, friends, family or friends, or charity, or government. The government is in the has a kind of a history of handing out money. Whose money is it? Well, it's the people who worked for it, were taxed, and it gave had to provide it to the government. The government turns around and hands it out, hopefully to those in genuine need. So benevolence. It's a gift in a form, but it's not as personal. It's given as some program would require. Now, gambling is another source of money. All kinds of people seek to make themselves rich through gambling. Proverbs 13, chapter 11, speaks to the cautions regarding gambling. Proverbs 13, verse 11 says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." I remember when I was working at Canadian Airlines, we'd have discussions about gambling. I'm not a gambler, other than when I crossed the road. Hopefully I got my eyes open. But a lot of people, well, that's work. You know, I'm pretty sharky. You know, I can pull off some gain with some tables or machines or whatever. And, of course, you could argue about that all day. But really, when it comes down to it, the motive of it is to get rich quick. And the Bible has things to say about getting quickly rich. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. "The thoughts of the diligent lead only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Be careful of get-rich-quick schemes, gambling being certainly one of them. And then the last one we can see as a source of money is crime. Yes, people get money through crime. You've been watching it on TikToks or X or whatever the last little while, all these guys running into a Walmart and just grabbing TVs and beating each other up over trying to grab it and running out the door, smashing windows in liquor stores to get free liquor and all this stuff going on in our nations today. Crime. It's another source of money. I hope no one here is using that as a source for your money. You may have some visitors one day. So those are some of the ways that we can see money coming into our life. And then secondly, it must be managed. It must be managed. Whatever ways you've been able to receive income, it's got to be managed. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Who taught you how to manage your money? Your parents? Friends? Maybe you went online, or maybe you went to a book and got some good instruction. There's lots of it available out there. But somehow, there's a skill involved with managing money, and we'll talk more about that as we go along. It must be managed. Managed means we need to seek instruction and knowledge and counsel and planning. One of the key elements of money management is setting priorities for spending. As you know, you can spend money in a lot of different places very quickly in our culture today. Just get your phone out, amazon.ca, and away you go, right? And let's just watch it go. And then the trucks keep coming. And packages keep arriving. Oh my goodness, did I buy this much? Yeah, well, looks like it. Planning. Set priorities for spending. Chapter 27 of Proverbs, verse 23. Chapter 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. This is good advice on managing your affairs. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appears, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field, and thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. You hear a plan there. I've got this plan for this and this plan for that. And that's part of the wisdom of seeking good instruction for managing the money that God blesses us with through the labor of our hands. But not only is money necessary, it can also be a destructive thing in our life. And I want to go through eight of these just to alert us to the fact that money needs some careful handling. Number one, money can be destructive when it's mismanaged. If there's a lack of a plan or spending that is not got proper priorities, or we end up spending more than we make, all of these can lead to destructive things happening in our life. Luke chapter 14 is a passage that speaks where Jesus is giving some instruction here. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Not able to finish. And what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassadors and desires conditions of peace. In other words, you got to plan ahead. You got to plan ahead. Money can be destructive when it's mismanaged. Money can be destructive as a result of unwise debt. We're going to be covering a lot more of this in this series, number 7. The previous one, mismanagement of money, we're going to be talking a lot about that in session number 5 and 6. But as a result of unwise debt, oh my, debt is a huge thing in our society today. I heard numbers, you know, we went from a few hundred million with credit card debt when the interest rates started going up to now it's well over $1 trillion. Collectively in the United States of credit card debt. People just turned around to their credit card and just started charging in on that. And it's going to get to the point where interest rates on that are going to be unachievable for people to make payments. And then, of course, it becomes a very destructive thing in their life. Proverbs 22, verse 7. It says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Does the Bible say you should never have debt? No, it doesn't say that. But it does say that you will have a new relationship. And the new relationship is that the lender will now have some claim on your life. Just like the banks do on us when we turn around and borrow money from them. And there is something that puts potentially pressure on our lives. We're going to, as I say, cover a lot more about this in the weeks to come. Money can be destructive when it affects relationships. In friendships, there can be a lot of peer pressure. Well, so-and-so got this new bike. I want one. Oh, my friend over there, he got himself a new phone. I want a new phone. What's the latest? Samsung S22 or 23 or something. Is that right? Are we up to that? Yeah. An Apple 15 or more. I don't know what their number is. And they're not cheap. And of course, if someone, oh man, I hate my phone. It's terrible. I want one like yours. And we can get ourselves into quite the pickles financially as a result of peer pressure. Envy. It's another one. When someone is blessed, someone has something that you think is really attractive, and you may have struggled with covetousness or envy. Or you say, oh, I hate them. They got something I'd like to have. Or exploitation. Friends can take advantage of you. I tell the story out of embarrassment, but one time with my son-in-law, Braden, we went downtown. He wanted to search out certain things, and we didn't expect to go there. We went to Abbotsford, and then we said, well, why don't we go downtown? Maybe they have more selection. So he jumped in his car, and we drove downtown. And then he said, and then I said, well, why don't I take you out for lunch? So we went to a nice little, the Homer Cafe, I think it was, and got to the time to pay. And I realized I hadn't taken my wallet with me. My son-in-law. I said, guess what, Braden? I'm going to have to ask you to pay. And he says, you know what? I'm just getting it back because I did this to one of my friends one time. Now it's my turn. And so he graciously paid, and I did repay him because it was my invitation. But, you know, sometimes we have times where friends can exploit us. They take advantage of us. Oh, they got lots of money. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's go to Playland. Let's go. And, oh, you'll pay, right? You'll pay. You're a good friend, right? You know how it can go. And as a result, the relationship can be damaged. It affects relationships. Marriages. Oh, my. I have some numbers for you. Did you know that in 2022, 2.78 million people in Canada got divorced? Did you know that it's the number one reason? 68% of the people who got divorced said we had conflicts over money. That was the major contributing factor to our divorce. We have a 50% divorce rate in Canada right now. I'm looking at stats, and I look at these, and I go, wow. I got fine print on this one, but I got to share this with you. Of all the reasons, 10 reasons for divorce, number one is financial conflict. Number two is infidelity. Number three is domestic violence. Number four is psychological abuse. Number five is lack of affection. Number six is less focus on intimate relationship. Number seven is difference in personality. Number eight is nonstop conflict. Nine is married at too young of an age. And number 10 is addictions. Can you imagine? And number one is financial stress, financial problems that people end up putting themselves into, and then it becomes a great source of irritation and conflict within the marriage. The questions like, how much should we save? How much should we spend? How much and where should we give to? These have to be beautifully discovered in the context of marriage as taught to us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's not all his way. It's not all her way. It's both people saying, God, what would you want us to do? God, what would you want us to do? How much, God, would you say we should be saving out of what we earn? How much should we be spending? Where should we give in honor to you? How much should we give? Come to an agreement. It can be a beautiful blessing in a marriage when you have both parties contributing to the decisions that are made. And it can be hell on earth, if I can use that phrase, when you don't. You start fighting. And it ruins the spirit of your marriage. Money is a serious matter when it comes to marriage, and it can be very destructive. And we'll say some more about this in the weeks to come. Family, it can be destructive to family relationships. We have lifestyle comparisons, you know, if you have a brother or sister and somehow they have more money and you kind of go, you know, you can start that stuff going. instead of really loving him. Sometimes estate battles, you know? And sometimes it's not necessarily about the money. It's about, I just want to see what's done to be right. I know. But can you let something go for the sake of the relationship? Or are you prepared to burn the relationship over the issue? Be careful. All of it is a testimony to the unsaved world around us. I know I'm probably touching on some things that stir up within you, things that you're aware of in your family or others. Money can be very destructive when it comes to family relationships, or it can be a beautiful blessing. Be very careful. Number four, money can be destructive if our use of it negatively affects our reputation. Reputation is huge. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name. Do you strive to have a good name more than you strive to get more money? The Bible convicts, doesn't it? How about our credit rating as believers? How about our perception of generosity? How about trust? Can people trust us? If we make a commitment with our word, will we fulfill our commitment? Trust. And we'll be talking a lot more about this in session number 8. Money can be destructive if our use of it affects our physical health. Money stresses can put tremendous strains on our body. Diet quality, just eating junk food, on the run. Sleep quality, nerves, ulcers, and even depression can be the result of mismanagement of money in our lives. Sometimes it's the result of pressure. Sometimes it's the result of guilt. Sometimes it's the result of regrets. I should have done it differently. Proverbs chapter 3 gives us the other side of the coin that is such a blessing when we experience it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health to thy navel, that part, that digestive part of our body, and health to our bones. Our bones, the place in which the quality of our blood is produced, the marrow of the bones. When we put our trust in the Lord and follow his ways rather than the ways of the world around us, it can affect our physical health. Be careful. Number 6, money can be destructive if our use of it affects our spiritual health. Our spiritual health. I want to read for you Proverbs chapter 30. This is a beautiful passage that came to my heart as a youth, and I reflect on it again as just such wisdom. It says there, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient or appropriate for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or, I don't need God. Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. And that's not just talking about swearing. That's talking about my lifestyle denies the God I claim to represent. Be careful. This is a wonderful picture. Lord, there is sometimes in life where enough is enough. How much is enough for you? How much is enough? Well, if I made double of what I had now, then it would be enough. Would it? Would it? What if you made half what you made now? Could you learn to be content? Matthew 6:33, it's a beautiful passage of scripture. You know, I was I was standing at the cell phone parking lot at YVR this week waiting for Clayton and Katarina to return from their anniversary, first anniversary trip overseas as a honeymoon. And I was standing there and I got talking to a guy in the parking lot. And it wasn't long and we discovered we were both believers. It was sweet. What a sweet time of fellowship we had there in that parking lot. And I just was blessed as he said, you know, I've learned in life, he was a electronics engineer trained in India, born in Fiji, but eventually came here to North America and said, I'm going to be a plumber. And so he took the trade and became a plumber. And he said, I learned fairly quickly that I had to somehow find a balance. You know, the need for plumbers is through the roof. It's probably the toughest trade to find. And he said, I had to learn very quickly that I'm going to have to say no to some jobs because otherwise I'd just be going night and day. You know, the old cliche about I worked 25 hours a day with no lunch? That's what he was feeling. And he said, I had to learn that this is enough for us. I'm trusting the Lord, and the Lord's going to take care of us. And we've learned how to budget, and we've learned how to make do with just saying this is enough. What a sweet discovery of life, quality of life. And out of that, he said, I had time for fellowship with the Lord. I was running so busy before, I hardly had time for fellowship with the Lord. Times are just meditating on his word and spending time in prayer and spending time just singing songs of worship. I was too busy. And our fellowship with the Lord can be affected by money's forces in our life. The second thing that can happen, we lose available time to learn God's principles and wisdom for managing the money we have. We can run around so busy that we aren't even properly managing what he has already blessed us with and then can see loss from it. In the book of Psalms, that very beautiful chapter, Psalm 119, with its 22 sections, each one representing a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the section called Mem, it's the Hebrew letter Mem, verse 97. Listen how the psalmist here cries out for his heart of love for God's word. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Not through my own thinking, but through God's teachings. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. My wife and I, I read to her a psalm every night. It's something I like to do before we go to sleep. I read a psalm to her, and some of them are pretty long. And I'm thinking, you know, first of all, can she stay awake? Secondly, will I start mumbling off into gibberish? Because we're pretty tired at the end of the day. And so, but I was convicted. I used to be that I would get to some of the Psalms and they were 30-some verses. And I would go, I'll just read the first five. It's like singing half a song. Doesn't seem right. So I said, if I could stay awake this late with all the things I'm squeezing into a day, I can stay awake a couple minutes longer. And I actually said, I'm going to start timing it. So I read to her and I said, and I think the psalm was 38 verses. And I said, you know, that only took me 2 minutes. Like, what was I thinking about? Oh, it's too long. I'll just shorten it up. You hear what I'm saying? How we can do that with God's word? We need time to learn God's principles and wisdom by reading his word and longing to take what he's shown us in his word and meditate on it through the day. Remind ourselves. Bring its contextual value into the situations of life. Beautiful thing to do. And then thirdly, money can be destructive if it affects our use, or if our use of it affects our spiritual health by limiting our available time for the blessing of encouragement and support from gathering with other believers. If we're too busy to gather with other believers, that's effectively slow spiritual suicide. You're draining yourself of the very resource God has provided to keep you spiritually healthy. Gather. Proverbs or Hebrews chapter 10, you know the passage quite well. But let me put it into its broader context. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's why we gather. To provoke, to encourage, to motivate each other to love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How many hope the Lord's going to return in the next 3 years? How many hope, okay, maybe you're saying, well, I'm not quite there yet. How many hope the next 10 years? How many hope, I hope the Lord returns before I die? We all do, who are believers. So much more as you see the day approaching, gather. Gather. So meaningful. And sometimes the chasing of money or the money's pressures in our lives can restrict us from that beautiful experience of coming together with God's people. Not everybody that necessarily we like. We can rub each other. But that too is part of the blessing of the body. Sometimes I need rubbing. Sometimes I need a knock over the head. Thank the brother who gives it to me spiritually. It'll straighten me out. Amen? That's a little softer. Nobody likes being corrected, do we? But at times we need it. We need it. It keeps us on the right track. Number 7. Money can be destructive when life decisions are based on money rather than seeking God's will for your life. I'm going to tell you the story of a pastor friend of mine. Norm Funk is a pastor. He's presently pastor at Midtown in Vancouver. It used to be Culloden Mennonite Brethren Church, but it closed, and now he's restarting it. But before that, he had some other experiences. How many know Norm? Nobody? He started as associate pastor there for a young adult ministry at Willingdon. And the conference came to him and said, you know, we'd like to start a church in the west end of Vancouver. He told me this testimony. A group of us pastors together, he told us his story as how God refined him. So he said, we sold our house in Surrey, and we took the money, and we said, well, obviously we can't afford a house in Kitsilano. Or Point Grey, or Carisdale. So they rented a basement suite. And he was given a salary from the conference as a church planter. And it turned out that the cost of renting a basement suite, a 3-bedroom basement suite at that time, and it'd be worse now, in that side of Vancouver, was not sufficient for him to be able to afford the income he made. So he started bleeding off his equity from his house sale in Surrey. Every month he started going down, 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 down. And his wife started saying, like, how long are we going to let this go on? He said, I don't know. Obviously, if it runs out, we're done. But I believe this is where God has brought us. I believe this is what he wants us to do. I'm trusting him. How much would I have that trust? And he watched it go down. He said, we had about 3 months left. And all of a sudden, God opened the windows of heaven. And the church exploded. And he said, maybe the whole reason the church exploded was for my refinement. To come to the place where I truly truly demonstrated, I trust God. And of course, that church grew eventually to the point where they had to rent the old Ford Center, downtown Vancouver. They moved in there. You know, the owners, which were from the U.S., said, well, I think we're going to sell it. At that point, I think they wanted $5 million. And he said, well, I mean, so he said, I phoned up our conference office, and they gave me a few numbers to call. Within 2 days, I think it was, we had $5 million to buy that building. God had taught me to trust him. He had exercised my faith to the point where I could say, God, if it's your will, great. You can do it. I was speaking with someone yesterday, and they said to me, you know, you pastors, I know you all love God very much, but I think some of you are lacking faith to truly trust him, to step out courageously in a culture that would probably not see us very likable if we started truly speaking what God's word says. Would we have enough faith to trust God with that kind of stand? It's a great challenge. And sometimes life decisions can be based on money rather than God's will. Not necessarily is a bigger salary indicative of God's will for you. It may mean going down in salary. It may be, maybe it means going to a place that's more difficult, to a job that is a mess. Maybe that's where God wants you to be. There's things that are in God's plan that are so much bigger than our thinking and our understanding. And to truly say, Lord, is this your will? Not based on comforts or climate or geography or income or benefits. That's the world's thinking. But is it a place where you want us to be because you have some divine appointment there for us? Amen? What a delight to know that I am where God wants me to be despite the context I'm in that the world may see is not very favorable. So life decisions. Money can be destructive if we base our life decisions on it rather than really experiencing God's will for our life. And lastly, money can be destructive if it robs us of focusing on eternal treasures rather than earthly. You know, it'd be nice if every morning we woke up to a little vision visit, overview of eternity. There, keep this in mind as you go through your day, right? Keep this in mind as you go through. This is heaven. This is hell. Unbelievers, by their denial of God, are going to hell. Believers are going to heaven. And you have the opportunity to build for yourself rich rewards and treasures in heaven. Think about that as you go through your day. That'd be cool. I don't know if there's an artificial intelligence program we could develop that would automatically download that on us every morning when our alarm goes off, but I think it would be very helpful. Something that keeps us reminded of what is at the end of this journey and the beginning of the forever home. Treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust do corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. And that's speaking about depreciation and inflation, wiping out the value of money, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We're going to speak a lot more about this in session number 9, the last session when we come to it in our series. I want to share with you a poem that I wrote. I'll take all responsibility for it. it just came to my heart, and I just thought, how do I capture? I was looking for poems on the internet. None of these really capture what I'm trying to say. So this is it. The problem with money. The problems with money, it starts in the heart. Have we followed God's ways in full or in part? Money, how destructive it can be. Too much debt, and you will see. Too much, too little, produces stress. Then we mismanaged. Oh, what a mess. Money is to be earned by a person's labor, then managed in ways that seeks God's favor. Seek God's kingdom as the very first. After his instructions, please do thirst. And with this plan, you will be blessed with treasures in heaven, the very best. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you so much for your word, your thoughts, your knowledge, your wisdom imparted to us in a book that we can read and study and apply in our lives. And I ask afresh today, Lord, may you touch the heart of each person listening. Help them to choose to follow you, not chase money. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.